Have you ever heard the metaphor? Of course you have. Throwing under the bus. Right? It was all the rage about 5 or 6 years ago. Used in business settings, used in political settings. Still used today, of course, but people are using that metaphor with a little bit more care in light of what's happening in the world right now. The new terrorist threat that seems to be everywhere and ever present. But if you've ever been bullied severely, perhaps way back in your childhood, perhaps at work, maybe by a neighbor or a family member, or sadly in church, if perhaps you know someone who's experienced elder abuse, either in wider community or in assisted living, and one more perhaps, perhaps in response to any or all of the above, you've meted out some retribution. You've got them back in some way. Well, the latest research would say that almost all of us can relate on one level or another to what I've just said. Most of us know what throwing under the bus feels like. Trust, hope, feelings in tatters. And then anger. Deep, welling up anger that can overwhelm us with fantasies of revenge or cause us to withdraw into depression. I've often wondered what I would do if someone who tried to run roughshod over me appeared before me now when I had some significant say in what would happen to them. What if they came to me needing my help? What would I do? Truth be told, I hope, I pray, with God's help, it would be something similar to what Joseph does in our first reading, that amazing first reading. I pray that what would come out of my heart, as Jesus says in our gospel reading, would be something that is good, something that is genuinely healing. All these years after the fact, with plenty of time to ponder his brother's evil deeds and to build up resentment, what comes out of Joseph's mouth is a doctrine of God's providence that is strong enough to build a life on. Strong enough for victims and for perpetrators. Strong enough for you and I to handle the evil things that have happened to us. And the sins we ourselves have committed against others. And that, I would say to you, my sisters and brothers, is very, very good news indeed. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Wow. I love the honesty, the facing reality in that, and the hopefulness all at the same time. Last week we talked a bit about how God works through human dreams and goals in response to Joseph's. And the suffering, of course, and circumstances that God uses to shape those dreams and goals. Because left on our own, we would just imagine that those dreams and goals are for us. And as Joseph has to learn, they're for others. Last week we talked a bit about how God works through human agency, the last part of Genesis 37 to 50, the whole Joseph story is a different take on how we cooperate with God and how God works with us. And I was saying that that's a beautiful thing, that God works through our choices and our actions. It honors the freedom with which we were created. It enables us to truly learn to love God, to be non-reactive, to be in the moment. Some scholars think that Jesus, in our gospel reading, that last part, is actually opening to the Spirit and learning as the conversation is unfolding what God wants to do in that moment with that woman and her desperately ill daughter. So this freedom that God gives us to learn to love God and to each other is such a wonderful thing, because then genuine relationships can flourish with God and with each other and the world. Now, of course, this is all rather mysterious, I was saying, something only the living God could pull off. Because in working through human agency and through our choices, God does not then step away from us. The old deistic understanding of God just kind of setting the clock in motion and getting things going and then not really being a part of our lives. No. In fact, paradoxically, God is so involved and so close that he becomes one of us. And so close that we are enabled by God's very spirit, God's breath, inside of us. God is with us and in us, and yet we act and decide. And as we do so, we partner with God. As Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, and for all those who are called according to God's purpose. And so last week I talked about how God can work with us when we're honest about our dreams and goals. And Joseph was surely that, wasn't he? The same can be said about the evil done to us and by us. I love how Joseph says, and now do not be distressed, or no, I am Joseph your brother whom you sold into Egypt or into slavery. Honesty about the evil done to us and by us. And when we're honest, that process is a slow process working its way out in our hearts. Honesty is about how we gradually open to ourselves and to others and to God. By not revealing his identity to his brothers immediately, by keeping Simeon in prison, who we think is the main instigator of the call to kill Joseph in the first place, until Benjamin can come along, by putting the money back in their sacks of grain, by threatening to keep Benjamin in prison after the chalice is found in his sack, Joseph enables this lengthy process of coming to honesty to develop. Joseph is able to help his brothers face themselves and be genuinely remorseful and take collective responsibility for their past actions. You see, he's able to do what an expert family counselor who's objectively outside the problem might try to do with warring factions in a marriage or in an extended family. But the amazing thing is that Joseph is able to do this while he's the original victim. That's amazing. What the church came to see, what we are called to see, of course, is a picture of what God does for us. The human race conspires together to put to death the Son of God, makes God, if you will, the victim. But God seeks no revenge. Rather, God seeks to bring us to our senses, using the very victimization of Christ as the means by which we, and if we can just insert ourselves now into this story, we're the band of brothers and sisters who've come looking for spiritual grain or bread because our lives are a famine. God uses that to help us face our past and our present, to stop our unnecessary and unhelpful excuses and come to honesty. And when we dare to be honest, we don't find a gotcha moment, do we? We find acceptance. We find the shock of God throwing the divine arms around us as Joseph threw his arms around all of his brothers. God's providence, God's plan to make all things work together for good for those of us who love God and are called according to God's purpose is not easy. It's not an easy, it'll all just work out, or we're just going to let bygones be bygones. It's not that. For genuine change to take root in our hearts and in our parish, we need to have the courage to be honest about what we hope for and also about what has happened to us and by us. When the editors of Israel's Scriptures put the final touches on this portion of Genesis, it would have seemed that Israel was dead, run over by the mightiest bus of all, Babylon. But what Israel gleaned from the Joseph story was not only a marvelous story of how God works through human agency, not only of how God's providence keeps a small remnant safe in time of oppression, something Israel desperately needed to hear when it seemed there would be no future. It was done. Her day had passed. But also what it means to cooperate with God's providence in history, in life. Indeed, Jews have been taking solace in this story through much of Christian history, as the church has acted towards Jews much the way Pharaoh and Egypt have acted toward this family. Sometimes accepting them, sometimes favoring them, but often abusing them, often turning on them and throwing them under the bus, if you will. Ironically, the church now finds herself in the position of the marginalized. Those of us on the inside, of course, know that our ideas are at the core and root of our civilization, but most of our society has no clue that that's the case. How shall we live? Like Joseph, working on ourselves, letting God's Spirit work on us, developing the character that is able to face down and deal with bullies with God's weapons, loving justice, forgiveness, and wisdom, serving the very society with our gifts, whether we're welcomed or not. Like Joseph, believing that God has sent us on ahead in order to preserve life. I love the way that that's put. Not just our lives. Not just preserve our lives, but preserve life. Not even just human life, but life. In this part of the world, many are struggling to make sense of things. Is life just about accumulating things? Is life just about having a good time? What is life about? We're sent ahead to prayerfully interact, to model for our culture the beauty of Christ, the beauty of God. Like Joseph, learning that even in the worst parts of our past and our present, God is not absent, but tirelessly working to make good come from even evil intention. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.